Eminence Front by The Who in the background. That's right. One from It's Hard. Yeah. That album. From the 80s, of course. You may recognize it from a GM commercial. But back in the day when this song came out, me and the food stamp studs, we had a version of this called the Valley Girl Hump.
Yeah, the food stamp studs. I haven't heard that reference in a minute.
The food stamp studs. Yeah, we sang the Valley Girl Hump. It's a put on. So let me tell you the story about me and Bill the other day. Bill is he's fired up. You know,
He's in rant mode,
and he starts. He's like, you know, well, you know, we take over the fucking after the midterms, and you know, we need to take the FCC, take it over, and take away ABC, NBC, CBS, all these motherfuckers' fucking license, and get rid of them. We need to get rid of them. Okay. And I'm just sitting there, and I look at him. I was like, so you're for censorship then? He's like, no. No, and I'm like, well, everything you just said is against free speech. Whether, you know, you agree with it or you don't agree with it, it's still free speech, you know? I mean, he goes, well, it's propaganda. And I'm like, yeah, and there's plenty of right-wing propaganda, too.
Fortunately, yeah, so, when there's money to be made.
And I was like, the unfortunate thing is that it happens, and it's happening. We know that we're constantly being bombarded and lied to, and tracked, and our data is just
horrible.
It's out there, and they're just trying to figure out ways to sell us products and
monetize every step of your life. Yeah,
you know, and with you know, I kept he kept he's like, I'm not for censorship, and I was like, but when you say you want these things to go away.
It's like do the
you're doing the exact opposite. Yeah. You know?
Do the ends justify the means?
Yeah. I was like, where's the fine line? Where's the fine line? You know, I was like, but as you know, I guess you know, reasonable thinking human beings, we have to sift through it all.
Yeah.
You know, to you know, make our own decision about it. You know, what's crazy, what's not. You know, we've all heard crazy shit.
Yeah, and know? No matter every so, event that happens, especially with the way. You know, media is, because media is social now as well. It's everywhere. And there is a good aspect of that decentralization, but there's a bad aspect of it, too, is that there is a... you're going to hear the dumbest fucking take. Anytime anything happens, anything of note, you're going to hear the stupidest fucking shit from both sides. Yep. And you're going to look at that and be like, how the fuck can you come to that conclusion? Like, right. From there. But, hey, they're posting, you know, it's a tweet, it's an article, it's right. A fucking, you know, whatever it is.
But it's
out there.
It's out there, you know.
And in order to get rid of it, you're really going to have to figure out where the line between, like, an authoritarian behavior and, like, we can't.
I agree.
We're not in a place in society where we can just drop all the rules and everybody will be fine. Maybe we can get there at some point, probably not in our lifetime. And then that'll be fine. We can take steps towards that, but you can't just, you know, so you can't go that way too far. So it's like, you have to find like where the good, and when I say like find the middle, the middle doesn't mean 50%. The middle means like, where's the logical, you know, like we're going to have a few rules and we're going to have rules that make sense and we're going to enforce them, but you need to also allow, you know, in this case, people to be able to speak their mind, even if it's fucking atrociously stupid.
Stupid, right.
And you just have to... I mean, the best way to do that is to combat it with a better idea. Have a rebuttal. Have something, you know, articulate your point. And then that way, like, that does drive a discussion. What doesn't drive it is that, well, people's egos, and they just shut down and try to win an argument rather than gain more information. Then you just stay stupid, and then, you know, the world seems like it's fucking against you, and then you just end up in a van with a bunch of bumper stickers playing Petula Clark. You know, it's fucking, it's all downhill from there. Yeah. You have to hear things. Right. You have to hear opposing viewpoints, even if, and everybody hates the dumbest takes that people have, but...
And we've all been guilty of falling for something that we thought was true. And then later on we find out, and you go, oh, shit, I fuck, man, I actually believe that shit.
That's why I'm really hesitant to, you know? Like, well, you know, somebody said this. I'm like, okay, I'm like, and this event just happened. Like, we'll probably talk about it. Because I don't know, I think the shooting is definitely, there's some people like that wanted to jump to conclusions. And because they have these, you know, channels, or they have these Twitter personalities, or they have whatever the fuck they have, they need to have an opinion right fucking now.
Right.
Before any information comes out, so then they just fucking clickety-clack something in the computer, or they get on, you know, get on their fucking show, and they go, well, this is... And they make this really... It's a real self-assured statement. Like, this is what's happening, and this is why, before any information comes out. And then more information comes out, and it's like, well, that actually didn't happen.
Yeah.
So rather than go, like, ah, shit. Like, I fucked up on that one. It's like, oh, no, my first thought has to be the right thought.
Right.
So then that's the downward spiral. That's where it starts. And that's where a lot of these people who are just, especially when money's involved, like, if you're making money and you have a channel, like, you have to be right. Otherwise, why are people tuning in to watch you? So it's like, you have to be right. You have to have, but then it's like, I would say to them, like, don't have so many fucking hot takes.
Right.
You don't have to post shit every fucking 9 hours.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think that's where the downfall is, is that, you know, that's, and of course, you know, but it's still free speech, you know, and
we have to allow it.
There's no reason, you know, to shut it down, you know?
No. And the way you shut it down is with a better idea.
I mean, you ever watch Ancient Aliens on fucking the History Channel?
The guy with the fucking crazy hair. It's like,
I mean, you know, I mean, after 11 seasons of us telling that everything that's happened on the planet Earth is because of aliens, you know, sooner or later you just go, eh, I don't know, man. You know? But, I mean, it's the same way, you know, and that's what we've all learned, I think, with social media, too, and think very, so like you said, in 2009, you know, when everything started getting kind of like very, you know, interesting, I guess you could say.
And that's when it really kicked off.
It really kicked off. And then the fact of, you know, people realizing like, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of bullshit on here, too.
Yeah, a lot of it. It's a little bit like, you know, in the Wild West where you have those snake oil peddlers and people selling, like, you know, these tonics and stuff like that.
This tonic will take care of hepatitis.
That's what they are. They're fucking
malaria.
They're peddling snake oil because it's a pioneer-type market, which means it's unexplored.
Right.
And that brings all sorts of people of varying levels of morality. Some
you
people don't really
vapors?
Have... You know, they're sociopaths, basically.
Right.
And they'll fucking, you know, say or do whatever they have to do to get what they want. And if what they want is to basically, like, grift and, you know, like, hey, it's going to be really easy. I know what people want to hear, so I'm going to go out there and tell them what they want to hear, regardless of whether it's correct or not. And then if there is additional information that comes out, this happened with the whole Rittenhouse thing, too. If there is additional information that comes out afterwards, well, I'm not going to make a retraction or anything. I'm just, in fact, just going to double down and then create this whole alternative narrative that started with bullshit and is full of bullshit.
And I just continue on with the bullshit.
And the way they hold on to that, though, is there's going to be one aspect of truth to it. There's going to be like, this is true, this is accurate, but you're totally misrepresenting it to make a bullshit point because you just wanted to jump out there and say some shit and you don't want to take responsibility out of
which, you know,
it, you know, because they're wrong.
Always annoys me with, you know, with politicians when they
they're great at that.
And and with these shootings, the shooting in Buffalo and the shooting in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, it just pisses me off.
Yep.
You know, that they get up on their soapbox and they start preaching their agenda about how they're going to fix all this because you need our help. You need it. You can't do this on your own because you're just, see what's going on?
Do you think
they're
pushing compliance out of this?
I feel like, you know, the reason we have so hard, the crime is up so much and all these shootings and things like that is because of, you know, the defund the police movement and
so how did that cause, like, all right, so let's,
well, I just, they just got rid of all the good cops and
because
now then you have a police force that doesn't really want to get involved. They would just rather go clean the mess up, you know.
Well, also part of that problem was, I think we had talked about this, it was a fucking while ago, I noticed something, and I've lived with, friends with, you know, family with people that are in law enforcement. And after I got out of the military, because I noticed it kind of in the military, too, when I was getting out, is there was, like, a lowering of standards.
Right.
That happened.
Of course, yeah.
And the issue is, And this happened, like, in my mind, in, like, 2005. So we're talking, like, when we're getting into the Iraq War.
Right.
Bush, you know, we started the whole Homeland Security, Patriot Act shit.
Right.
You know, like, probably, like, Homeland Security, and we're fighting this intangible war. We're fighting a war on terrorism. Terrorism is not a thing you can hold or eliminate. It's like the war on drugs.
Yeah, we were fighting two fronts there. That was Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, which, totally should have been there. Fucking... So, like, we're fighting this fucking war on this intangible shit, and we need, you know, we started the Department of Homeland Security, so we need to fill roles there. We need to bump up all the police forces. That's when we started kind of militarizing.
Yeah, sending them some army surplus and, you know, here, take this battle tank and go smash doors in. And
if you're going to up your numbers
all the drug dealers.
You're gonna up your numbers that much at a time where it's not like it was now, but even then, like, people didn't have the greatest like view of the police, so it wasn't a job that people were exactly lining up to do,
right?
So, but you needed warm bodies, you needed people to fill these roles because the police were already kind of understaffed, and now it's like, oh, we need to increase, you know, the size of everything. And then, you know, like I said, that came along with Homeland Security, like trying to get all these people to fill these roles. So what you have to do to be able to fill all these roles is you have to lower the hiring standards so you can get people in. Because otherwise people are just going to be so overworked and understaffed. The shit's just going to, and it's like, it's not the worst decision, but the things leading up to it were the worst decisions. And now you just have to make a poor decision because you've already made a worse decision in the past. So, but regardless, it's like once you lower the hiring standards, you can't just, once you get like shitty people in, it's really hard to fucking get them out.
Right, because then they go under protection of the unions and things like that. And
which in the military, like we were more, a little more stringent on fucking like rules of engagement, like that, and what happened than the, you know, police department.
I remember, you know, being in Somalia, and then it's like, you know, don't engage unless you're engaged, you know. He used to tell us, don't lock and load when you leave the fucking camp. And we're like, bullshit. I'm fucking I'm going to turn the safety on, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going out in this fucking jungle out here and
just gonna follow, you know,
this desert, this desert of despair. And
it's whatever the escalation of force is. So whether it's supposed to be like, you know, shoot, like stuff like that. Like it's, you know, whatever. Or you just jumping straight to shoot because things are really bad. Or whether there's different rules of engagement. Yeah. There's different, you know, escalation of force depending on where you're going or what you're doing.
Yeah, but definitely always locked and loaded. We would roll out.
And if you fuck up, you're probably gonna go to Leavenworth.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna get court-martialed for not doing. Oh, for following the rules.
You're not gonna be alone a firearm.
you're gonna do a little time. You're gonna go down there and you know, do whatever you do in army jail.
But if you know, if a bunch of cops
picking up cigarette butts, apparently.
But a bunch of, you know, cops who just got caught in a fucking lack of communication or whatever the bullshit going on, they just sit outside for a fucking hour while kids are fucking, you know, it's while there's an active shooter inside.
Right. Yeah, that's my thing, is why didn't, you know, and they said, oh, because he was a we felt that it came to a barricaded shooter situation.
Yeah, well,
why would that even stop you? There's children in there.
Absolutely. You know? Even like before
I would have been like, fuck you,
right?
we're going in. You know, we're gonna go fucking,
but yeah, 100%.
We're gonna stop this shit. 100%
agree. But even go like before that, like their story kept changing so much. So anytime, like, your story keeps changing, and now, like, they're not cooperating with, you know, the internal investigation that, like, look, I know some internal investigations to you may be unwarranted, but this is the one that you would need to shut your fucking mouth
and comply.
And comply with it, because people are watching.
Yeah, they can't even do that. 19 dead kids.
Yep.
Fucking people are pissed.
So they can't even do that. So there's already, like, you know, it's not, I'm not going to make an assumption of guilt, but I think they already did something else wrong. So that's why they're like, well, we just need to shut up and lawyer up, you know, and let the courts solve all this. Yeah. So criminal charges, probably not going to get any civil suits. I hope.
I'm sure they're going to sue that city to
nothing.
And
it's not going to fucking, you know, make anything less detrimental, but at least that family will get some sort of restitution rather than nothing. Because, I mean, like, okay, like, we talk about, like, wanting to, you know, have, like, an effective police force, you know, rather than just like a straight up defund thing. Because it's, you know, because then you're just going to end up with a similar amount of crime and then actually more guns and more shootings. But that doesn't mean what we don't have right now is an absolute issue that needs to be reformed and fixed. Like, people take these extreme views of fucking everything and drives me nuts.
We can go back to Bill real quick. He actually made a good point. He goes, he said, you know, with gun reform, he goes, you know, when they can prove that it works in Chicago, L.A., New York, Philadelphia, because they have some of the strictest gun laws and have a good, huge, giant amount of gun violence.
Large amounts.
Yeah. And he goes, if they can prove that they can get those cities under control, and, I'm like, yeah, like utopia there. Like, oh, we've given up the gun and look at us.
Or even like,
love your brother, painting rainbows on buildings.
Or whatever solution they find. What if they did find a solution?
That would be great. You know?
Like, what if it was like a combined effort with a multitude of things that involved some amount of stricter enforcement of rules, a few common sense rules, and then an actual campaign. Well, an actual endeavor to address the mental health aspect of it.
Definitely,
and then maybe
the mental
have some
health,
gainful employment.
The mental health.
Because, like, we can't mix, like, school shooter and mass shooter. I feel like we have to, for right now, separate those two things. Because, they're both issues that are going to have some different solutions to them. And I would think, like, if we're going to start anywhere, like, let's just start with the school shootings. Let's just start with, like, 18, let's just start with, like, the kids, basically. And, like, if we can figure out how to fix that, maybe we can take some of those things and apply it to broader society.
I mean, I'm all
for it. I would start with the youngest people. Start with the kids. Because they're going to be the next generation. If they're more fucked up than us, we're not going to be doing good. Yeah. So,
but I see, like, old pictures, you know, of course, people post and see the ones like, you know, one time they were taught gun safety in school, like in the 50s, you know, like you could, you know, take a gun class.
So, yeah, I thought about that too. I took a gun to school.
I remember guys like, you know, I grew up in farm town, Ohio. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was nothing for, you know, one of the guys in a pickup truck to have a shotgun in his back window.
No, it wasn't uncommon.
It was not uncommon. It was like, you know, it was no big deal.
And I honestly don't imagine it's uncommon today if you go in rural towns.
I took a muzzleloader into my vocational school and took pictures of it. My dad's muzzleloader. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to get off a lot of shots. You know, hold on. Yeah. I got to pack the powder.
What do you do? Like, pow. Turkey, deer? What do you fucking...
He did deer. He did deer with that. Yeah, it was a 45.
I think muzzleloader season's first, isn't it?
It's bow, then primitive, then shotgun, and then back to then like primitive, which is both bow.
It's been a while since I actually went hunting
and muzzleloader. But yeah. I took it in, you know, I mean, I told my, I kind of like, you know, told my teacher, I was like, this is my idea, I want to do this, you know, kind of like a field and guns kind of like, you know, we were doing like magazine covers, and I said, oh, yeah, this would be perfect, got this muzzle loader, I got all these bullets and shit, and, you know, and some barn wood, and I told him my idea, and he goes, okay, you can do it. Mm-hmm. He goes, but wait till after, you know, the bell rings and everybody gets settled in, and then bring it in, and then we'll close and lock the door. And I was like, yeah.
No, that's fine.
So we ran in there, you know, and we set it up, and we, you know, you know, like, you know, people looking out the door, making sure who was coming, you know, see who was coming, and loaded it up, and you know, gave it to my dad and my father-in-law, made two copies and gave it to them, and. But yeah, so I took a gun into school and took pictures of it. Oh no!
Yeah, but that's not.
My thing is with let's talk about like what it takes to get a gun, or you know, if you're a first time gun owner, I really believe that you like with a car, you have to take a driving test when you learn to drive a car because it's obviously a deadly machine, and there's laws to follow.
There is, you know? Yeah.
So, why not make it mandatory for first-time gun owners when they go and buy their pistol?
Take a course?
Have to take a course. Or if you go in there and, you know, you have to have some kind of proof where you've been through some type of gun safety course even if you're going to buy another weapon, you know, like in the, like getting your driver's license renewed. Like, it doesn't have to be every year, but like every 5 years, you have to go take a refresher on some gun safety.
Okay, let's expand on that, because two things that I just came up with. So hunters, I remember you have to go through hunter safety course. You have to go through
a hunter safety course.
So that already kind of is, you know, something like
one.
Yeah, and I know plenty of people that fucking hunt and they had no problem, you know, like passing that shit and having shot anybody.
Jack Chaney shot a guy.
Yeah, he did. Kind of thinking that was on purpose. Dick Cheney is a little fucked up.
He just capped him with some birdshot, you know.
And he's like Emperor Palpatine's dipshit cousin.
But yeah, I mean, I'd done obviously plenty of hunting and things like that. And
but then there's I've got my concealed carry permit.
Right. If you get it concealed, you have to go through the class.
Yeah, you have to go through a class, qualify at the range, and pay a certain amount of money.
Which is smart. So well, why not just take that to anybody that, you know, they have to have some kind of proof that they've been through, an eight-hour class of gun safety.
Yeah, I don't see an issue.
Why would that be so difficult instead of saying, oh, well, we need to get rid of all the guns. You don't know how to handle them.
Yeah, because that's like if we don't actively engage in the discussion, then it's left to the loudest people. Like if you don't actually try to come up with a logical solution, all it gets left to is the people that are willing to step over somebody's head and do it themselves. Right. And those people don't always come up with the best fucking ideas.
No.
So it's either gonna be like, no rules, nothing changes, and in fact, like, we're going to, you know, deregulate some stuff versus we're going to ban these weapons and then do a forced buyback and then do a 1,000% tax on anyone that wants to own one. And that it's like, so if you don't actually, and this is why the whole division thing, like, as much as, and I'm guilty of this as anyone else, it just wants to sit around and talk about how divided people are, but make no effort to actually engage in an active discussion with other people, no matter how, you know, like some people I've talked to, there's no, like 20% of people, you're just not going to be able to reason.
Right.
And you just kind of have to let those people go. But a lot of people are just kind of fucking regular people. And then we all kind of want the same shit.
Yeah.
And some people have different ideas based off of the way they were raised or their you know, they're raised in a certain political environment, or maybe they had some experiences that pushed them a certain way.
Right.
And everybody's trying to figure their own shit out. Right. Everyone's trying to figure out, like, who they are and where they fit in society. Like, you know, where am I? And that changes throughout time, too. So having this whole, like, basically sports team of fucking right-wing, left-wing shit just ends up with the biggest dipshits on either side. And I just want to look at them like, go watch football. Go watch fucking basketball. Go watch fucking hockey.
Right.
Don't fucking bring this shit into the political realm. It's red team versus blue team, and they show up like they're at a fucking sports event, and they have barely read the fucking headlines of articles.
That's so
and
true.
I know that because I am not politically, like, I am not, like, super fucking smart or anything like that. I started looking at some of these issues and going, like, oh, that's why people get degrees in this stuff.
Right.
I don't have time. I don't have the structure of how to figure out, you know, how to decipher some of this shit.
You know, yeah, exactly.
So if I really wanted to, that involves, a dedicated, like, this is going to be my education. And then I can understand. I was like, yeah, you want to talk about this shit all the time because it's like, no, you don't get it. This is the way it happens. The same thing you know, economics. Like,
I totally agree.
I'm not
going
to pretend to know everything about economics because holy fuck, nobody fucking
knows. As we've said on this podcast many a times, like, do not take our advice. We are just kind of just some guys who talk.
Yeah, figuring out just figuring like fucking out, everyone else.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, you know? So,
on that note,
that's the way I feel about it. I was like, you know, people ask me my opinion on things. I'm like, you know, I was like, it may not be the right one, but, you know.
On that note, you know? I will, yeah, that's not. I don't see anything wrong with that idea.
Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean that I hate you. Yeah. You know,
no,
it's fine.
It's not
it's
until
fine
you
to be,
have certain behaviors where I'm like, okay, now I fucking hate you.
Yeah, if there's certain like douchebagness
I'm not,
about
I'm not
you.
Gonna say I'm so morally superior.
No, of course not. But I mean, if we're friendly and you have a different point of view,
cordial,
it's no problem. But if you're like a dick, you know,
I hate how, trust me,
if you're a dick, I'd probably be like, sooner or later, I'm gonna tell you that you're a dick.
I hate how political dickheads have co-opted the term civility, because regular people need to have civility in their conversations. People trying to get fucking ratioed on Twitter don't need to talk about fucking civility. So that includes, you know, it's like fucking AOC and Ted Cruz. That includes both of those Twitter head dipshits.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. So, I guess, we'll go back to the gun thing. So that's not a bad idea. I can't, the conclusion that I came to was that maybe it should be 21 to be able to purchase any type of,
I would say, of handgun or high-capacity magazine weapon.
Rifle, anything, so we can limit it to, like, I'm not going to discourage younger kids from hunting, so, like, bolt-action rifle?
Absolutely not. Bolt-action rifle, double-barrel, like, 16-gauge shotgun.
Correct, you can do turkey, bird hunting, stuff
22s.
Like 22s, because they're great to practice with.
They're great to practice with.
You learn the fundamentals of shooting,
You know, handguns of all smaller caliber, maybe nothing above
probably
38.
Probably no handguns,
You know, I would say a 22 would be okay, you know, because you can buy 22s that look like, you know, a 45, and they shoot a 22.
I know. Well, that's going to lead
but
to,
I'm
like,
just saying,
police
I understand,
are going to get nervous, like, because they're going to pull it out and be like, that looks
like
a
45.
Why is that a 1911? Like, it's a 22, and until you look
down
the
barrel
of
you don't know. Exactly. But I'm just saying, smaller caliber handguns.
Yeah.
You know, nothing big, you know.
Because, like,
When I was getting taught by my dad, you know, when I started out on a BB gun, a 22.
Yes.
And
yes.
then, you know, like a 16 gauge shotgun.
And
then the
12, maybe some smaller caliber, like handguns.
Some smaller
rifles.
Caliber, like a 38. You know, he had a 38
that
he let me shoot.
You have the snub nose?
He did have a snub nose.
I shot with those too.
You know, a snub nose 38. And then he had a couple, when he was, like, I guess being a police officer, the gun was still much, you know, the carry was a revolver.
Yeah, back then, because that
it was a 38. 38 was the service
weapon. Remember, like,
those
old fucking cop movies, like, they all had revolvers. Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, I think about, like, I would say the late 80s, early 90s that they switched to 9mm.
Yeah,
at least a magazine loaded.
Yeah, I'm going to guess, like,
high-capacity magazine.
I'm going to guess, like, 89, 1990 is probably about the time they switched. Right. Yeah, definitely, like, early 90s.
But
94, they were definitely switched over.
Yeah, but he always carried a 357 and loaded 38s.
Yep. My dad had a revolver like that. It was a 38 special, so, like, you know, you could have, like, 38 rounds, or you could put 357
in
there.
Yeah. But it always, like, if he was in a shooting in the sheriff's department, it had to be a 38 round. They weren't allowed to shoot people with a 357.
Yeah, because as the great, again,
it blows them lung out.
Yeah, this is the second time I'll bring it up. The great Bill Burr once says, like, you're going to shoot through a wall, blow your dog's head off, into the garage, drop the engine out of your car.
It's like that old, remember that movie from back in the 80s, Johnny Dangerously?
Yeah.
And Joe Piscopo, and he, like, pulls out the big gun. He's like, it shoots through school. It's like, probably not going to fly today.
Yeah, you probably don't want to post that right now. Actually, you know what? It would be, like, if you have a good comedy aspect to it, that would be a funny fucking time to post it. Just like,
I inadvertently said that somewhere not too long ago, and they just kind of looked at me, and I was like, oh, yeah.
You know? But, like, oops. Yeah, I started...
maybe too soon on the shoot through school thing.
I started shooting, not BB guns. I started shooting when I was 11. I had a bolt action 22 from 1908. Could only, you know, shoot it. You know, my dad was there, obviously. Like, you know, sometimes we go out in the backyard because I'm in the middle of fucking woods in Vermont. So you set up a little bench in the backyard.
Get your hay bale and a paper target.
Yeah,
or cans are good. You know, if you're getting dad, maybe getting a little crazy, and it's like, let's actually make something explode.
And then I went through not even being the military is different training, but like the concealed weapons course, and I was like, oh, this is kind of what my dad taught me. This whole thing, like, never
don't
point,
be a dumbass.
Don't point at anything. You're not, you know. want to die, at least not want to kill. Yeah. Always keep it pointed down range. Don't, you know,
yeah,
treat every gun like it's loaded. Loaded. Yeah,
it's only made for one thing.
So by the time, you know,
you get there, you're like, oh, yeah.
By the time I got in the, you know, and like I said, the military is different because they're like, yeah, all that's true. We're going to do some crazy shit, too. So fucking buckle up. You're not going to have a whole lot of sleep.
Yeah. Been there. Seen some gun accidents, too. You know, I remember one time,
Yeah, I've seen
it. We used to, like, a lot of times, you know, when we were living back in Ohio, when we were living in Ohio again, back in Columbus, her aunt Sandy would have, like, would do a lot of Thanksgiving. She'd do Thanksgiving. She kind of took it over.
Pink Aunt Sandy's.
So, you know, which meant I cooked. So, which is fine. Because it's somebody's birthday always on Thanksgiving. You know, because everybody apparently born in November. My sister, my wife, my brother-in-law, my nephew.
When the fuck is 9 months before Thanksgiving?
Jesus Christ.
Would that be
Valentine's Day?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, there you go. That explains it.
But so everybody's in November, and it happens right around, you know, Thanksgiving.
Sometimes around,
So, you know, which is fine. I always cooked it, you know. Once, you know, like, yeah, I got it, you know. So I usually get up there like a day ahead of time and
prep everything.
And then, like, you know, her aunt and uncle were doing pretty well. And he would, like, organize, like, a thing on Thanksgiving where we'd go do something. Like, either we go fish or, like, go out and do some skeet shooting or something like that.
Oh, that's always fun.
So one year we go skeet shooting.
Hell, right
at this, you know, kind of, like, little range and walking around.
Like a sand pit, basically.
With his two sons, you know. My wife's cousins, and there's a point where, like, you know, we're coming off one of the, you know, I think we're shooting like rabbit, like a skeet rabbit that shoot across the ground, and we turn around and we're getting ready to walk away, and like his youngest son fucking pulls the trigger on his shotgun. He's got it pointed to the ground, but it's like pow,
and
it
loaded with like some
bird shot, and we're like, I'm just like, fuck. He's like, safety. I turn on the fucking safety. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like that. And even in the military, you know, we were in the day room cleaning weapons, and one day, and
oh Jesus, they made it to the day room.
And my we're in the day room, we're in there, got, you know, Trev, my partner,
they
Trev.
Didn't shoot, he wasn't the TV, did they?
No, but he wasn't cleaning. He just had it like leaning on the couch. He's just watching TV, just being a dick about it. Yeah. You know, he's like, it's clean. He's like, it's clean already. I already cleaned it. And
bullshit.
And then our squad leader comes in, and he's like, "Hey, you need to get cleaning that weapon, soldier." And Trev's like, "It's fucking clean." So Neil comes over and he grabs it, and I don't know, for some reason he fucking pulled the trigger, and there was a blank in it, and it was like pow, and we're like, "God damn it!"
At least, like, it was just a blank. Jeez.
Yeah, but everybody like scattered out of the day room and shit. I was like,
fucking A.
I was like, that's what? God damn it, that's what I'm talking about. There, every weapon is loaded.
Yeah.
Don't pull the fucking trigger.
Jesus. So,
but he was like, he was like yelling at Trev, it's obviously, you haven't even fucking cleaned it.
Yeah, I would, like, say, unless you just cleaned around the fucking round that was in there.
I knew he hadn't done shit. He just, like, came in and sat down and, like,
threw, sit there with the
threw it on the couch, and he's just sitting there watching TV.
He cleaned around the blank that's the blank in the barrel in with a Q-tip.
Because we had gotten back from the field probably, like, I don't know, a couple of days before that. So, of course, you know, they're dirty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm
you
just
have weapons,
like,
cleaning guy.
Oh, my God. I'm so pissed. Idiot. I just left. Just walked out.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Yeah, I go clean my shit in the picnic tables.
Like, I'm
out
getting
back.
The hell out of here.
I'm going to go with the
crazy
fucking
motherfuckers.
Go clean my shit in the smoke pit.
Like, all weapons are loaded. Why would you pull the trigger?
We had a gazebo back. I go out to the gazebo and finish cleaning my weapons, smoking cigarettes.
So, yeah. So, I've seen some, you know, fortunate, you know, that nobody was injured.
Crazy.
But, you know, people remember that shit when that happens.
Yeah. To remember enough not to do it in the fucking
first place.
Place.
Is the safety on? Yes.
You want to pause and do one more, and then I'm going to have to be out after that.
All right, cool.
But I want to continue the same conversation.
Sure.
Let's see. And continue with my story. What do we have on here?
I don't know. I'm just letting it roll.
Oh, you have jets flying
over. We have jets flying over. In lieu of Top Gun, Maverick has been released. That's Tom Cruise currently flying over the house.
Yep, on his way to the Scientology headquarters.
Stopping over there in Nashville and spreading his love.
Fingering Corey Feldman, we'll see.
I don't know, that's been very could be the same band. Like I said, could man, be. These guys.
Oh, that's a good sound. Could be.
These guys. Yeah, see? Same guys.
It's a different album, though.
Yeah, different album, though.
This is more like Spacey.
Very, very,
not
yes.
Not Kevin Spacey,
very,
just
very
like Spacey, fun. Spacey,
yeah,
Jesus.
Like I said, it's like every time I like play them, it's something different, you know?
Yeah, they got a good variety, but they're all like sort of low-key. Yeah, I like it. No,
there's
I like
one
this,
that I'll play you that is because somebody's singing, so, but I'll play it for you while we're off of here. And
yeah, that's cool.
It's great.
No, I like. I'm glad you showed me this.
Yeah.
This band.
I'm glad YouTube showed me this band.
Fuck you, YouTube.
No, fuck you, you bastards.
They're good sometimes.
Yeah. But just hang out, enjoy the new music. It's not all about heavy metal and rock and roll around here all the time. So we'll be back.